Amen. 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 Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That applies in so many different ways. I'd like to thank the Lord for His presence today and again ask for your prayers. I have some scripture that I would like to share with you this morning. If you would like to read with me, turn to the Gospel according to John chapter 11. And I want to read beginning with the first verse and read several verses. So if you want to read with me, please turn to John 11, beginning with verse 1. And I'm going to read what I'm sure is a very familiar scripture to most of you that are here today. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I want to stop my reading there with verse 14. I want to give you this title today, and this has been my thought and what the Lord has placed on my heart to bring before you here this morning at Fairview Memorial. My title is this, He Makes It Worth the Wait. He makes it worth the wait. I want you to notice here in about verses 4 through 6, 3 through 6, that when word came to Jesus, and we know that Jesus was able to heal, I mean, he was able to cure people of any type of disease. He could touch those who are sick, and he could heal them. And when we read these verses, therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. If we look in verse 6, it says, When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, and if we think about Jesus being the Son of God and having the ability to heal people from any type of sickness or any type of disease, anything that was life-threatening, that was going to claim someone's life, he was able to do it. When we think of this verse, if this was a fill in the blank and it were left to us, and somebody said, when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, we would probably fill in the blank, well, then Jesus went immediately there to help him. And that would seem to be the normal thought and the normal response. But I want you to, before I go any further, I want you to take note of this. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Jesus loved them. We were told here in verse 5 that Jesus loved Martha, and he loved her sister Mary, and he loved Lazarus, and he had the ability to help him and to cure him of his sickness. But yet, even though he loved them, and even though he, when he heard about this, he could have went immediately and done that, yet he tarried purposely. He purposely waited. In the day that we live in, and I really believe that as things change and as our daily lives change, because life does change, the only thing about life that doesn't change is that life keeps changing. And so as we go through these different changes in our society, and you know, there have been in my lifetime, in the years that I've lived, I've seen a lot of things that have changed. But I could look to Brother Lowe today, or some that are older than myself, and they could tell me about more changes. They've seen more changes in their life than what I've seen in mine. But if we live here on this earth very long, we're going to see things change. And I think when these changes come about, and the things that we get accustomed to and the way that we live every day, I believe that those things, they creep into the churches as well. The way that we live our lives from day to day, that those things creep in among us as a church, and if we're not careful, they'll have a great effect upon our spiritual lives as well. And one thing that's obvious to me, one great change that has taken place and seems to be continually taking place, is I don't think that people here in this country really want to have to wait for anything anymore. I mean, we have become a people that we want it, and we want it now. We want it immediately. We don't want to wait for it. What do you think that fast food is all about? I mean, why are there so many fast food places, and why have they been so successful? You know, I went the other day, and I'll just tell on myself. Sometimes I do that despite myself. But I went the other day, I was out running around, I was visiting people, and I it was about lunchtime, and I got hungry, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to pull in and get something real fast and just stay on the go. And when I pulled into the parking lot at McDonald's, there was a great big line of cars there at the drive-up window, and you know what? I just went on and ate later. You know why? I didn't want to wait. I didn't want to wait. And it seems like that's what we in so many ways have become. We don't want to wait for anything. I remember, I thought about several different things and changes I've seen. And I remember that when I began driving, I think it was 1971, I got a driver's license and I began to drive. And then you could go to the gas stations, and can you believe this? Somebody would come out and pump your gas for you. You didn't have to get out of your car. You didn't have to, you know, take your card and put it in the machine or anything, you could go and sit in your car and they would pump your gas into your car for you. But you know what you had to do a lot of times? You had to wait. You had to wait if they were busy. You had to wait for the attendant to be able to come there and to have the time to pump gas into your car. But you know what? You got some good things from waiting there, because back then they would come and they would pump your gas in your car and they would clean the bugs off your windshield and they would check your oil and you know, provide all of these services. But you had to wait. Sometimes you had to wait a while for them to do that. And now it's, you know, we're going to make a mad dash off the highway and we're going to pull into this filling station and we're going to jump out of the car as fast as we can and we're going to slide that little cart in the slot, and it even says slide it in and take it out quickly. Nobody wants to wait for anything. We'll just slide that little cart in and pull it out as quick as we can and pump that gas in ourselves and hang up the pump and bam, we're on the road again. And we didn't waste hardly any time at all. You know what it's done? Those things have done, though, they've thrown us into the rat race type of life. They really have. Everything, you look at the various advertisements, and it seems like that everything about business, every benefit that the businesses seem to be offering people to sway them to come to them, to come over to them and to do business with them, is that we will get this done for you quickly. You won't have to wait. We'll get this done for you. I mean, we will change your oil in record time. You pull your car in here and we'll have a guy that's there with a wrench in his hand already waiting, and we'll pull that oil plug, that drain plug out of there in a microsecond, and we'll change that oil and we'll get it done, I mean, in a heartbeat. You may drive down the road and your oil leaking everywhere because nobody took the time to do the job well, but you got it done quickly. But you know what? We need to wait on the Lord. The Bible teaches that and talks about that in so many places, that we need to wait upon the Lord. And I'm afraid that many, many times in the churches and in our spiritual life, we want to see everything. We want what we want, and we want it now. And God doesn't work that way. You see, God hasn't changed. We have changed through the years, but God hasn't changed. Our lifestyle has changed through the year, but God has never changed. God doesn't change. The book of Malachi tells us, I am the Lord, I change not. It also tells us that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In God there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He never changes. God does things today the way He did those, the way He did things many, many years ago. Amen. God doesn't change. When we wait on something, what do we learn? What's one of the great things that we learn when we wait for something to be done? You know what? If you you take a group of people or a nation of people and they get everything done right in a split second, right when they expect it to be done, you'll end up with a nation full of the most impatient people that has ever lived. You will. They won't have patience for anything. They won't have patience when it comes to things concerning business, and eventually they won't have patience for each other. You know what? Sometimes we need to wait with each other. Sometimes we need to wait before God with each other in prayer. We need to wait for God to do His work in people's lives. Sometimes we need to tarry long with a friend, don't we? While they get things worked out. We need to have the patience to do those things. Why do we have to wait on God? I wanted to put that question before you today and ask you to think about that, because the Bible does teach us to wait on the Lord. Let me share just a few verses with you. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, it says, "They that wait upon the Lord," and I'm not going to finish it yet, but the first of that verse is, "They that wait upon the Lord." You see, the scriptures there tell us about waiting upon the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7, it says that we are waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are waiting for the Lord. And so why is it that we have to wait? Why doesn't God, we know that the Bible teaches us that God wants to bless our lives. The Bible teaches us that God hears and desires to answer our prayers. And it teaches us that the things that we ask in prayer believing that we will receive. So why should we have to wait? Why can't we have everything now? Why should we ever have to wait on anything from God? He can do whatever He wants to do. He's got all power in heaven and earth. God can do it today just as well as He can do it tomorrow. So why should the Bible even tell us about waiting on the Lord? Well, you know why we have to wait on the Lord? Because the Lord waits. He waits. He waits to do things. God doesn't do everything that we ask. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever prayed about something that was going on in your life? It could have had something to do with sickness. It could have had something to do with your financial situation. It could have had something to do with many different things. And you prayed about it and you prayed about it, and you didn't seem to be getting anywhere. Nothing seemed to be happening. And maybe months down the road, God comes along and He blesses you in a mighty way. And you have the thought, well, I could have sure used that blessing 6 months ago. You know, wouldn't it have been nice if that would have happened back then when I was going through all this stuff? But God doesn't work according to our ways. God's ways are higher than our ways, and God knows just exactly what we need, and He knows when we need it. God knows when we need that blessing. God has a reason. You know, Jesus did teach us, and I've already spoken about this. He did teach us that whatsoever things we ask in prayer, believing that we shall receive, but He did not promise that we would receive it in the split second that we ask. But He did tell us we'd receive. You know, Jesus had every intention of taking care of Lazarus. He did. He had a purpose for this already. I'm convinced that it was already, before that Lazarus had even drawn his last breath, that it was already in the mind of Jesus Christ to go there and to raise him from the dead and to make believers out of those that would witness it. I believe that's exactly what Jesus was talking about when He said, "This sickness is not unto death." We could read that and we could get confused, I believe, if we didn't understand what He was saying, because Lazarus did die. You could read that Jesus said, "This sickness is not unto death," and then read a little bit further on and find out that he did die and say, "Well, but Jesus said this sickness wouldn't be unto death." But that's not what He was saying. He was saying, this sickness, this that's going to come upon Lazarus, it's not just for the purpose of him dying. It's for the purpose of God being glorified. There's a reason for this. And so in order for Jesus to do what he had in his mind to do, in order for him to raise Lazarus from the dead, there was something that had to take place. He had to tarry and he had to wait there until the time that Lazarus expired. It was necessary in order for God's plan to be fulfilled. It was necessary for Lazarus to die in order for Jesus to go and raise him from the dead. You know, you may remember hearing about when Moses went there to Egypt and went before the Pharaoh and commanded him to let Israel go. When he went there, things got worse for them. They got worse. The taskmasters took away their straw, but yet they demanded just the same tally of brick that they had always been giving them. And so they began to, look at Moses and to murmur against Moses and say, well, you have made things worse for us. But listen, God was working things out all the while. He was working things out in his time. He was doing things his way. Yes, they had to go through some things. Yes, they had to, things became harder for them. It's true. The things that Moses went there and said to Pharaoh and caused Pharaoh to get angry and take their straw away from them. Yes, it did create a hardship upon them. But I'll tell you what. I guarantee you that when those 2 or 3 million Israelites sometime later were marching out of Egypt on the Exodus, that they were well able to say, he's made it worth the wait. God has made it worth the wait. Well, we all do well in the role of Martha. We do. We do well as Marthas. We do a lot better. I think we do a lot better as Marthas than we do as Marys. Martha didn't think Jesus should have waited. I mean, you know, when he got there, she was like, Lord, if you would have been here. Don't we do that sometimes? Lord, if you would have answered me now, then these things, other things would have never happened if you would have just been here. But you know what? It's not for us to tell the Lord what to do, is it? It's not for us to try to dictate to God. It's for us to submit to him and listen to him and to be like Job and say, Lord, if you slay me, I'll still trust you. Whatever you take me through, whatever you expose me to, whatever you do to accomplish your purpose, I'll trust you in that and just allow you to work things out. Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. And so Jesus said, well, Martha, your brother, he'll rise again. He'll rise again. And her response was, well, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And by the time he got there, I remember hearing a song about this. In the chorus of the song, it said, isn't it great when he's 4 days late, he's still on time. Now, you and I can't do that. We can't be 4 days late and be on time, but Jesus can. He knows the perfect time for everything. You know, God knows how to answer our prayers. And he knows how to answer them right on time. right on time. Right when he would get the most glory, and that's the most important thing, right when he would get the most glory, right when he would make believers out of people by what they see, and right when the circumstances and the situation was exactly right for him to come and to perform the miracle, he is able and he knows and he's able to do all of those things. Sometimes we don't see it that way. Far too often, as I've already said, we see it like Martha. Lord, if you would have done it now, if you would have just been here, he would have never died in the first place. But Jesus went there. He had been dead for 4 days. Jesus told them to move the stone. They were like, well, Lord, by now he is stinking. 4 days. 4 days in this hot, arid climate. He's stinking. But the Lord called him by name, said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth, and he, said, remove the grave clothes from him, loose him, and let him go. And I'll tell you what, Jesus waited, he tarried, and he allowed Lazarus to die. He allowed his body to be in the tomb for 4 days, but when he came there and when it was time, according to his time, when he did his work, I mean, didn't he really do a bang-up job? I mean, didn't he really do something miraculous when he did it? I'll tell you what, if you will wait upon the Lord, if you will be patient enough to wait upon the Lord and just keep praying and keep trusting the Lord and let God have his way and give in to God's will and don't give up in your prayers, just keep praying and asking and believing God. When God comes and answers your prayers, he'll do it in a way that you'll say, man, that was worth the wait. God really made it worth the wait. You know, there was a man one time that I read about in the Bible. His name was Simeon. And he was waiting for something. He was waiting for something that he had been promised that he was going to see. He was waiting for the Messiah. And he wasn't going to accept anybody but the one that he was waiting for. He was waiting for Jesus to show up. I mean, you know, these people waited for the fulfillment of hundreds and hundreds of years of prophecy. He was waiting for something that had been spoken of for a long time. And the Bible tells us there in the second chapter of Luke that there was a man by the name of Simeon, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting. He was tarrying, waiting for God to fulfill his promise because God had promised him, he had promised him that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Messiah, the Lord's Christ. Promised him. The Holy Spirit came to him and assured him, you will not die and leave this world until you have seen the Messiah come. And he waited for that. And what a great blessing that he got at the end of that wait. When he finally, when they brought that baby at the age of 8 days old, when they brought him there to the temple, and Simeon took that baby in his arms and his wait was over and what God had promised him was fulfilled, God blessed him so much that he was ready right then to just give up the ghost and go on. My life is complete now. I'm ready. I'm content. I'm just willing to just go on and die now because mine eyes have seen thy salvation. You know what? I know I know this is a silly little analogy. You know, you can go get a Big Mac, but you can get a lot better hamburger if you'll wait a little while for it. We can rush things. I mean, we can rush things. You know, you can rush things and you can produce a product, but you'll get a lot better one if you'll wait for it. You know what happened to so many churches through the years? You know what caused so many churches to stray away from the truth? You know what caused so many churches to go from churches that once practiced sound biblical truth and now they don't? Churches that once allowed people to seek after the Lord until they knew that they had been saved, and now they call them up and just deceive them and tell them you're saved. You know what brought those things about? They didn't want to wait anymore. They became impatient. You know what? We're not getting enough converts this way. The church isn't growing enough this way. We don't have enough people saved this way. All this mourning and slobbering and crying on a mourner's bench is unnecessary. We'll skip all that. We won't wait on that anymore. We'll just take the things that the scriptures say. You know, the Bible tells us if you believe in Jesus, you'll be saved. They didn't care about what that really meant anymore. We'll just speed up the process and we'll get them to come up here, and rather than them tarrying here for hours and praying themselves, we'll tell them what to pray. And when they've prayed it, rather than waiting on the Holy Spirit of God to reveal it to them, we'll just tell them they're saved. Don't tell me that that didn't happen, because it did. It happened. We don't want to wait anymore. We can grow faster if we speed up the process. I'd rather wait, wouldn't you? I'd rather wait and let them seek the Lord and let them know, because then they'll really have something. They that wait upon the Lord, I'll finish my verse now. Isaiah 40, 31, one of my most favorite verses in all the scripture. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I want to share one more thing with you, and then I believe I'll be finished. In 1 Corinthians 15, when Paul spoke about the resurrection, the new body that we'll one day have, how that the corruptible would put on incorruption, the mortal would put on immortality, he said, then, when that happens, it shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. Have you ever go back into the Old Testament? Because Paul was quoting something. He said, then it shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. Have you ever gone back into the Old Testament and read where that's from? Look at Isaiah chapter 25, because there's a verse of scripture that goes with that that wasn't written in the New Testament. It's beautiful. Isaiah 25, 8 and 9. Let's read them together. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. Listen to this. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Those of us who are saved, we know that the Bible teaches us that one day after this life is finished, that we're going to get a better body. If you're not saved, you're not going to get a better one. You're going to get a contemptible body. But those of us who die in the Lord, we're going to get a better body. You know what, though, Brother Strode? We may have to wait a long time for that. I mean, we may have to lay, our body may have to lay in the ground. We don't know when the Lord is coming back. We may have to wait a long time for that, but thank God we'll be able to wait in hope of a better resurrection. And I'll tell you what, when that event takes place that Jesus said would take place, when he said the hour is coming when all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation, when we come forth in that new body, and I'll tell you what I get out of what Isaiah said, when we come forth, when we rise in that new body, we'll say, Lord, it'll be said in that day, Lord, you're our God. Man, we've been waiting for you. We have been waiting for you. We need to wait upon the Lord. We need to pray with the patience to wait upon the Lord. The Hebrew letter in Hebrews 10:36 says, we have need of patience that after we have done the will of God, that we might receive the promise. To you that are lost, you need to hurry up and wait. You need to seek the Lord with urgency, but you need to wait before God until He saves you. You need to seek until He saves you. You don't need any other kind of salvation. You need Holy Spirit salvation. You need true salvation. You need to seek Him with haste and repent of your sins and trust Him, and you need to allow God to do His work in your heart. But let's not hurry the Lord. You know what? Sometimes when we come to the house of God, you never convince me that it's not true. You can get angry at me over this if you want to, but it's just the truth. When we come to the house of God to have service, we're in a hurry. We're in a hurry. We want everything to be wrapped up by 12 o'clock. You know, we want the preacher to finish preaching by then so we can get out of here and have lunch or something. You know, we get in too big of a hurry with things. We need to allow God to have His way. You know, we don't need to tarry a service without Him, but we don't need to try to shut it down when He wants to do things either. And so we need to be patient and we need to wait and give way to the Lord because He does things in His own time. He waited there purposely for 2 days until the situation was right for Him to do what He intended to do all along. So He makes it worth the wait because God answers prayers in a mighty, mighty way. I appreciate your attention. I hope that something has been said that's been helpful to you in some way.